Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Tech. I'm Stephen Jolly. Great to have you with us wherever you're listening, perhaps through Vision Australia Radio, associated stations of RPH Australia, or maybe the Community Radio Network. There is also the podcast. If you haven't caught up with that yet, all you need to do is search for the two words Talking Tech, and down it can all come, usually on a Tuesday afternoon, just after it's been produced. Another option is to ask your Siri device or smart speaker to play Vision Australia Radio Talking Tech Podcast. Vision Australia Radio Talking Tech Podcast, and it should all work out pretty nicely. With me, someone who can explain all the tech stuff pretty well, Vision Australia's National Advisor on Access Technology, David Woodbridge. David, we're going to return to your office this week. We did talk about it last time because you did a major rework of it. We're going to talk in a moment about your new electronic desk. Mm-hmm. First, though, there's been some black stuff appearing on your desk.
Yes, there has been, which is very weird. Because in the last week, I've redone my office and I've got this new desk that we'll talk about in a minute. But there's been this, like you said, black stuff appearing. I mean, I couldn't work out, or anybody else for that matter, where it was coming from. So I got my cleaner on the weekend to have a look, and she said she could identify it. And then she started moving some of my electronic braille devices that I've got in cases on the desk. And one of them in particular, when she picked it up and she accidentally brushed one side of it, all this black stuff just peeled off the case and fell onto the table again. She went, aha, found it. So I'm no longer actually using that particular device with the actual case on it. But I just wish overall that when these devices, I guess, you know, come with a case, that they're not sort of leather type faux cases. They're either real leather or maybe some other case that doesn't deteriorate, because I think 5 years for a case, particularly when you're talking about a device that's worth over, you know, several thousand dollars, I think it should last a bit longer. I mean, we always say we'd like to use these devices for at least, you know, 5, 7, 8 years. And I just think the case should last that long as well. So it's just one of those things that I've just noticed, that I just wish there was better quality of some of these cases that come with the devices as default. And I guess that's why you've got things like executive cases in the world that sell specific, you know, really good quality leather cases and so on for devices in general.
Good thing to think about when you are purchasing something. We usually just think about the functionality, but the characteristics of the case. Very interesting. Now, tell us about your new toy, this electronic stand-up sit-down desk.
So literally, it's an electronic desk. So I'm not going to say the brand on the show because I don't want to recommend any particular brand as usual. But it's an electronic desk. Simply, it's a flat top desk. Its width is about 1,520 millimeters. That's from side to side. The depth, so from front to back, is 750 millimeters. So that's just the top of the desk. Now, if you can imagine, on either side, you've got these legs that are like an upside down capital T. So you've got the main strut in the middle and then the feet going forwards and backwards underneath the desk. And inside those struts, of course, is the mechanism to raise and lower the desk. And then at the top of the desk, on the back, left and right, you've got the cable holes that you can slide down your cables into for power boards that you might want underneath the desk. And then what makes the desk all fancy and work and everything else is that at the front left-hand side, you've got the electronic touch only keypad. And of course, that's then connected via a cable to the motor, which is located sort of towards the back of the desk. And of course, that operates the two mechanisms in the legs on either side to raise and lower the desk. So that's the desk in a nutshell. Now, the issues for us as blind or low vision people is, you probably guess it, is the keypad, because it's a touch keypad only. And when I first set it up, or got it set up for me, because there's no way you'd want to set this up by yourself, Ellen, my wife, discovered that in the keypad settings, there's an option that says beep sounds on or off. So when you turn that on, when you touch the touchpad, it makes a beep sound when you hit one of the software buttons. And the layout is pretty simple. On the left-hand side, you've got a 2x2 grid. So you've got buttons 1 and 3 on the top row, and then 2 and 4 on the bottom row. And then in between those two rows, you've then got a little S button in the middle, which just stands for settings. And on the right-hand side of the actual keypad, you've got an up and down arrow in a column for raising and lowering the desk. And then, of course, the 1, 2, 3, 4 buttons are for preset height. So going right down low, which is about 600 millimeters, to right up high, which is about 1,100 millimeters in height. And of course, those preset ones can do any one of those in between. And here's the issue, Steve, that if you accidentally touch not directly on the button, or you don't touch with purpose, you sort of do a tentative touch, the desk will have an error. It'll come up with different weird things on the screen, which of course, me being blind, I can't read. And then you have to reset the desk. And it's pretty easy to reset, but it's a pain in the neck. I can reset it, but once you've sort of done this reset mode, you're then going to turn the desk off, which basically means turning it off in the PowerPoint, wait 5 seconds for the actual keypad to then shut down properly, and then turn the desk on and you can use it again. So what I've discovered is I've put tactile dots on all the buttons. So 1, 3, and that's the one that I use only, and then up and down, and then a button on the S button for settings. But the only buttons I touch normally to actually raise and lower the desk are just the up and down arrow buttons. So if I want to put the desk from low to high, I just hold my finger gently on the up button, and then the desk goes up because I've got the old lock dots on there. And then I can stop at any point. And then the same going from top to bottom. I just keep holding my finger down until it hits, you know, not hits, but when it stops down the bottom or in between where I might want to use it. So look, it does work. It's one of those things, Stephen. It's like sort of mainstream hardware that you'd buy in a shop, which of course this one is. But it's one of those things where you've got to do a bit of, I don't know if you would call it hacking, but you've got to have some workarounds when things don't work correctly.
Mm, improvisation. Some of us have been doing that all our lives in different ways.
That's right.
You mentioned the tactile buttons. Of course, that's the kind of approach we often use with microwave ovens. Now, a few little questions. Normally, we think of a desk in an office that's got drawers in this case.
No, so this has just got the straight desktop on top, so across the top of it, where desktops normally go, now I think about it. But then what I've done with mine is to make sure that I don't sort of sneakily want to sit down all the time. Underneath mine, I've got these little roller storage cabinets. We've got sort of like little mini drawers in them. That's where I keep all my cables and chargers and adapters and so on. Because the desk is, you know, 750 millimeters in depth, I've got like I said, I've got these little roller storage areas which don't impinge upon me standing in front of the desk. So that works out really nicely. And of course, when I put the desk down in the lowest position, the desk doesn't actually hit those little storages. I make sure there's enough clearance. And then when I want to sit down next to me at the standing desk, I've got like a quite normal desk with just a little dining room table chair, actually, which has got a straight back for my back. And that's where I do all my testing. And that's where I've got my few of my other Macs and so on just sitting there. But literally, I can stroll into this room, use the desk, and then when I finish, stroll out again. But what I'm finding is if I'm using the desk for more than, say, 20 minutes at a time, I've got this sort of, it's called an anti-fatigue mat. So it's basically like a balancing board, except it's got vinyl padding on top of it. So when you're standing on this board and you move slightly like I am now, you'll have your legs move and your ankles move and so on because you're trying to balance yourself on this little standing board, and it makes standing at the desk a lot longer.
What sort of money are we talking about?
About $480 and about $120 for installation.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Your Macs that you got repaired, you thought they were dead.
I did, because they wouldn't restore from the internet. So I dropped them off at the shop thinking, if you can't fix them, guys, throw them away, meaning that they're going to throw them away anyway. And they rang me up the next day and they said, yep, we can restore both of them. Would you like them done? And I said, yes, please. So literally for, I think, about $100 of service time, I've got two MacBooks up and running again from 2016, my Pro, and 2013, my Air. So it's all back up working again, and they're just my general household computers now.
Good lesson there. Let's talk about Amazon Alexa now. Firstly, the app that runs on Windows goes okay?
It does work extremely well, because I had an app on my Mac which sort of worked. I think it was called Ask a Lady. I won't say the word because it's right in front of me. And it was really, really bodgy. So when I heard about the Amazon Echo One for Windows, I thought, oh, you know, who cares? But when I went and tried it, it's just like using a Lady on a real device. It works really, really well. So if you've got an Amazon account and you'd like to use the a Lady and you don't have a hardware device, or you have a hardware device and you want to use Windows anyway, it's, like I said, just like using a lady on the device. So give it a go, and I think you're going to really, really enjoy it. Of course, you can use Audible, Kindle, control your smart home, get a lady to sing to you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all is extremely accessible with whatever screen reader you may be using on the Windows system.
You've got some news about the Amazon A-Lady third generation device.
Yeah, I've actually got this in my hand at the moment. So this device only works with the third generation A-Lady Echoes, Amazon Echoes. So if you can imagine a round base that the Amazon Echo third generation then sits into, and then at the back of the device, you've got this little, I guess it almost feels like it's a sort of very hard plastic or metal strut that comes up and then over. So when you slide the Echo in, it goes under that sort of upside down L strut at the back. So it nestles into the actual base. And then inside that little strut coming up vertically, you've got two ports. You've got one for the 3.5 mil headphone jack, and you've got one for the power. And then right at the front on the base, you've got a simple button to turn this little base on or off. So at the end of the day, with this little portable battery base for your Echo third generation, you whack your Echo in there, you turn it on from the base, which gives the Echo power. You wander out to your entertainment unit or wherever else outside, still connected to your Wi-Fi network, and use your Amazon Echo as usual. And it works really, really nicely. I can't remember how much these bases cost, but I want to say it was only about $50 or so. So it wasn't that expensive.
Very impressive. A game you've been playing with recently?
Indeed. So this is the Veil, Shadow of the Crown. This is the audio-only game for the Xbox, because now that I've got my sit-to-stand desk, I've now got my Xbox controller through my mixer linked up to the TV, which is currently behind me, because as a blind person, I don't need to see it, and it's an audio game anyway. And it's been really, really great, because one, I've been standing and playing the game at the same time, and I've now been on holidays, I've been able to have a chance to play this game at casual, normal levels. And now I'm just up to the hard level, which, believe me, is actually really, really hard. So I've been cheating a little bit. Every time it gets a bit too hard, I sneak back into the options menu and slightly may change it back down to normal or casual, depending on what I'm doing. But it's really good that I really feel like I'm taking full advantage of all the options in this game. It's making a lot more sense to me than my initial look at it. So if you have an Xbox and you want a fully audio-based game, which is a lot better than some of the other ones around, then get the Veil, plug in some headphones to the Xbox controller, which you can, so you're not disturbing anybody, and go for it. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. And of course, like everything else, if the developers have gone through all this effort to make things accessible, I think it's us as the community that it's for, is to really embrace this type of, in this case, gaming, and purchase it and support the developer.
Just briefly, for those who aren't familiar with gaming and sort of the process, what's so good about it?
It's the fact that you're using a console and the controller, which has got your joysticks and everything else, like anybody else can when they're using an Xbox game. So my daughter and son, they sit here and you can hear them flicking and rotating and vibrating on the controller when things get hit. And you think, why can't I do that as a blind person? Why does it have to be all sighted people that get all this sort of goodness game stuff? Well, now you can get all this goodness game stuff. It's like, if everybody else can get that, why can't we? And of course, now we can.
Excellent. Just before we go, a reminder of where people can find details of what you've been talking about in this and previous editions of the program.
Indeed, including a comprehensive review of the desk. And of course, the website is my website, which is davidwoodbr.podbean.com.
davidwoodbr.podbean.com to write to the program.
You can write to me at Vision Australia, where I work, which is david.woodbridge, how it sounds, at visionaustralia.org.
david.woodbridge@visionaustralia.org. This has been Talking Tech. With me has been Vision Australia's National Advisor on Access Technology, David Woodbridge. I'm Stephen Jolly. Stay safe. We'll talk more tech next week. See you.